Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you gave your apostles grace truly to believe and to preach your word. Grant that we might love what they believed and preach what they taught. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You can be seated. I grew up the son of a pastor in a small, independent, Pentecostal church in northeastern Ohio. My dad would often jokingly say, traditionally, we're non-traditional. He was right for the most part, but we did have a few traditions that we practiced. We had communion once a month on a Sunday morning. My dad even wrote a short liturgy from the book of John, from the Gospel of John, rather, that we call, and he used the words that we call the words of institution. This is my body, this is my blood, do this in remembrance of me. We also had an Advent wreath. We had a liturgy for lighting the candles on the Advent wreath. One family would come up, and they'd read a devotional Dad had written for that week, and then after they read the devotional, they'd light a candle, and they'd go sit back down. I'm not really sure how my dad knew about an Advent wreath, but we had one. We also had a Maundy-Thursday service, which I have never seen in another Pentecostal church. This service was really meaningful to me, and I looked forward to it every year. We'd move all the pews back in our sanctuary up against the walls, and we'd put a row of 8-foot tables, and we'd another 8-foot tables this way. We'd make a big shape of the cross, and we'd all have communion together. And then there was a giant wooden cross that was made out of a tree branch, and we would nail our prayers to that cross. It was really, really fantastic. These services or traditions made a powerful impression on me. Years later, after I became part of the Anglican Church, Dad asked me why I became Anglican. It baffles him. I thought about it for a minute, and I told him that among other things, one of the main things that draws me to the Anglican Church was the importance that the church places on tradition. He followed up my answer by asking me why it was so important to me. I told him all the traditional things as a church that we did as a church when I was growing up were so meaningful and powerful to me. I wanted them all the time. I like to joke with Dad that it's his fault that I became Anglican. He doesn't appreciate it. I love tradition. I love the nuances that go along with it. I love the depth and richness it creates. I love how our tradition honors the gospel and points us to the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Its meaning gives us meaning. So what am I, and what are you, sitting in the pews of a church that places high value on tradition passed down to us from the early church and beyond? What are we to do with today's gospel passage from John? Here Jesus says to the scribes and Pharisees, "You leave the commandment of God and hold to the traditions of men." The issue at hand, pun intended, is the ritual washing of hands by the Pharisees and other Jews of the time. This shouldn't be confused with the common washing of hands before a meal. The Pharisees taught that the ritual washing that was required of the priest in the temple should also be done before meals by everyone, not just the priest. Biblical historians Paul Robertson and Douglas Estes write, "Typically, the Pharisees are seen as religious and social innovators whose adaptive readings or interpretations of the Torah led to the codification of oral traditions." These oral traditions or oral laws were extensive. Thousands and thousands of these traditions or laws were handed down to the Jewish people. When I was about 11, we had a Jewish missionary couple staying at our home. At dinner one night, the husband was explaining to us what the worldview of practicing Jews in Israel is. And this is what he said. He said, it's like they say, God planted a tree and said not to touch the tree. The religious leaders then erect a fence around the tree to protect people so they won't accidentally touch it. The problem arises when they say, God said don't touch the fence. And then, if that weren't bad enough, they build 280 more fences and say, God said not to touch any of the fences. Pretty soon, we can't move around. We can't be anywhere because there's fences everywhere. It's too heavy of a burden. In Jesus' day, each rabbi had his own set of oral traditions, referred to as his yoke. This was intended to guide his students into properly understanding and practicing their faith. But the number of these commandments was so great that it became heavy, too heavy of a burden for anyone to bear. This is why Jesus says, come unto me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The scribes and Pharisees had lost track of the heart of the matter and imposed their own laws on others. Jesus said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus goes on to say that they not only teach as doctrine the commandments of men, but they also use their teachings to get out of following the actual commandments of God. In verse 9, Jesus gives an example of how they do this. He says, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandments of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles his father and his mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many, many such things do you do. In those days, the leadership, the religious leadership would allow you to say, well, if I was going to take care of my parents, this is the amount of money it would take me, and I'm going to give that money to God so that I don't have to take care of my parents anymore. Wow. There are many issues here for the Pharisees. For the sake of time, I'm just going to highlight two. First, speaking as if for God, they teach and require things of people that God doesn't require or even want of his people. Their motives may have been good initially, but now their teachings harm people. We get into hot water when we add requirement beyond what God requires, and we start to hurt people by placing heavy burdens on them. This is why Article 6, I promise I won't go into this very far. Article 6 of the Articles of Religion, there's 39 of them, we'll just cover this one, of the Articles of Faith are so important. Article 6 says, Holy Scriptures contain all things necessary to salvation, so that whatsoever is not read therein, nor may be proved thereby, is not to be required of any person. Second, they seek to control and manipulate God by using his commandments against him. This is represented here by Jesus' example of the Pharisees paying their way out of honoring their father and their mother. But it's also seen in other places in the gospel. For instance, in John chapter 8, the story of the woman caught in adultery. Where's the man caught in adultery? See, it takes two to tango, so where is he? He didn't get get out of jail free card? It would seem that their tradition somehow let the man off the hook. This is different from the traditions that we value so highly. It's a dead faith, not a living faith. passed down to us by our Christian ancestors. You see, tradition always points to something. A tradition that kills points to the self. It places the work of keeping the law on the individual. It creates a system of rules in which I can find loopholes. Unfaithful tradition can be wielded as a weapon to cut and hurt others. This is not the tradition that we advocate for. This is the kind of tradition Jesus condemns in our gospel passage. The historian and theologian Yarsalo Pelikan wrote, "Tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. And I suppose I should add, it is traditionalism that gives tradition such a bad name." In contrast to unfaithful tradition, a living and faithful tradition points to Jesus Christ and his salvation of the world. It brings life and health. It can be wielded, but instead of a weapon, it is wielded as a scalpel to heal the sick. As Anglicans, the tradition we hold so dearly are first and foremost the sacraments of the Eucharist and baptism. In these two acts, Christ has promised to be present in a real, unique, and special way. The sacraments are primary to us because, unlike other traditions, they don't simply point to Christ. They include Christ, so they get top billing. We also highly value the creeds and apostolic succession, or the passing down of ordination from bishop to bishop. We value these highly because the creeds contain and the bishops protect the historic faith of the church. We value the tradition of our historic practices, namely the Eucharistic service, the daily offices of prayer and scripture reading, and other special services. We value this tradition because we want to worship in the same way the early church did. We have many other minor traditions you will often see during the service or even as you walk the halls of the church. There are too many to name here. I will just say a few things. If you see something in the service that you don't understand, ask yourself, how is this thing, bowing to the cross for example, how is this thing pointing to Christ? How could it produce a living faith in me and others? And if you can't spot it, ask someone, a deacon or a priest or someone who seems particularly devout to that tradition. When it comes to bowing and kneeling, crossing yourself, and other similar practices, please remember this. None must, all may, and some should do these practices. This is the tradition that we embrace, a living historical faith. We believe that our tradition, when practiced in this way, will bring life and spiritual health, not simply by doing them, but because of the one who they point to. Looking back momentarily at our reading from John, it would seem that the Pharisees were concerned about Jesus' disciples being unclean or defiled. Jesus flips the script on what it means to be unclean. He says, "Hear me, all of you, and understand there is nothing outside of a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he had entered the house, he left the people, and his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, Are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him, since it enters his heart, it enters not his heart, but his stomach and is expelled? And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, and they defile a person. The Pharisees had studied the Torah, taken it into their minds, but what came out of them was burdensome and harmful to the Jewish people. They endeavored to find loopholes in the laws of God instead of seeing God's good laws as health and life. Death, hardship, and injustice came out of their oral tradition. That's what defiles a person, Jesus says. A tradition that revolves around me, that points to me, always leads to an outcome of defilement of the heart. On the other hand, good, healthy, godly tradition always revolves around Jesus Christ. They always point to Christ. They always bring about the fullness of life and spiritual health. I ask at the beginning of this sermon, what are we to do with the words of Christ found in today's passage? Some in the church world would answer this by saying, we must renounce tradition and embrace Jesus. And while I appreciate the spirit with which they say this, I cannot imagine someone suggesting that I should renounce my marriage and embrace my wife. Instead, we should denounce bad tradition that points us away from Jesus and embrace a tradition that points us towards him. A tradition passed down to us by our mothers and fathers in faith. This is what we are to do with Christ's words found in today's gospel. Amen.